Well, if you have a Bible, please open it to the book of Galatians. We'll be in chapter 6, verses 11 through 18 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to use one of the black pew Bibles in the pocket in front of you. You'll find our text on page 916 in those pew Bibles. Again, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And here we are. We've done it. We have come to the end of Galatians, and it's only taken 19 weeks. And I pray that this series has encouraged, challenged, and convicted you as we've walked through this book together. And as we end this morning, we read the final passage written by the Apostle Paul as he sums up what he's written to this point. So as we jump into Paul's concluding remarks, let me ask you a question. This question is going to set the table for where we're going in the text this morning. Are you ready for the question? The question is this: what is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? What drives you? What motivates you? What do you shape your life around? Or maybe to ask it just one more way, what is your life built upon? Is it your family? Your kids or their activities? Is it your job? Is it a paycheck? Is it your status in the community? What drives you? What drove the Apostle Paul? What motivated him? It was simply the cross of Christ. And according to Paul, the cross of Christ should also drive us. Christian, is your life built upon the cross of Christ? What does that look like? Well, Paul gives us the answer in verses 11 through 18. If you are willing and able, would you please stand in honor of reading God's word? Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. The word of God says this: "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire you to be circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would be glorified through the preaching of your word, that you would sanctify your children, conform us to the image of Christ. And God, if you will, we would rejoice to save sinners this morning. Holy Spirit, lead me now. May I proclaim your word faithfully. May we all leave here this morning more in love with Christ than when we came in. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What does a cross-centered life look like? Well, Paul outlines in Galatians 6, verses 11 through 18, six aspects of a cross-centered life, and he does so by the way of contrast. In this passage, he contrasts himself with the false teachers, and he calls for the Christians in Galatia and us today to emulate his faith. But before Paul jumps into these aspects, he gives a solid concluding statement, and we see that in verse 11. He writes, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." It wasn't uncommon in Paul's day to use a secretary to write on your behalf. And Paul mentions this in other books that he wrote, and it's no different here. In verse 11, Paul picks up the pen and he writes for himself. But what does he mean by large letters? He says, see with what large letters I am writing to you. What does he mean by that? There's a lot of debate over this phrase, and some scholars believe that Paul had poor eyesight, and so he had to write big for himself to see what he was writing. But I don't think that's the case. I believe Paul mentions large letters because he wants to emphasize his points. He wants his readers and us today to understand without a doubt what he's about to say. It's as if Paul is making a last-ditch effort to get his point across that this salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And his conclusion is sharp. He doesn't end with personal greetings or thanksgivings as he does in other books. He gets right to the point. There's no time to waste because in his mind, eternity hangs in the balance. Where the Galatians land on the issues Paul raised in the book may determine where they spend eternity. And the same goes for you and me. This is important. Now, Paul has our attention. He's ready to make his point. The Christian life must be centered upon the cross. But what does that look like? First, Paul tells us that the cross-centered life is humble, not prideful. He shows us this in verses 12 through 13. He says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. What motivated these false teachers? Paul tells us that it was their flesh, it was their pride. They desired to make a good showing, which means they wanted to save face before others. They were a lot like the little boys on the playground who pick on the girls so that the friends don't make fun of them for liking them. They were very much guilty of the same desires Jesus condemned the Pharisees for in Matthew chapter 6. You might remember there where Jesus says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Why? That they may be seen by others. Later in Matthew 23, Jesus referred to the Pharisees and the scribes as whitewashed tombs. They looked great on the outside, but they were full of death on the inside. These false teachers cared more about man's opinion than faithfulness to God. But before condemning them, we must ask ourselves this morning, does this describe me? Does it describe me? Churches are filled with people characterized by the heart of the Pharisees and false teachers. Pews are filled with people who only attend service to make a good showing before others. Why are you here this morning? Why do you come to worship the Lord? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Is it out of love for God or out of fear of others? Is it out of devotion to God or a false presumption that you can somehow obtain God's favor through your good deeds? Let's wrestle with these questions this morning. Why do we do what we do? Well, how are they seeking to make a good showing in the flesh? Paul says, through their forcefulness of the Galatians to be circumcised. Again, these false teachers stated that one needed Jesus plus circumcision to be saved. Organizations love to focus on mission statements. A mission statement is an organization's purpose for existence. For the Judaizers, their mission statement can be found in Acts 15, verse 1, which says, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." They sought to deceive others by proclaiming a false gospel. But salvation is not the result of works, so no man may boast, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. What was their motivation? Paul says it was their fear of man. They wanted to make a good showing for sure, but they also feared being persecuted for the cross of Christ. We see that in verse 12. And again, we must be slow to condemn them, lest we be hypocritical. I can't tell you how often people tell me they don't share the gospel out of fear of opposition or rejection. And sadly, Christians cower to the culture out of fear of opposition or persecution, yet we complain how bad our culture has become. But what is needed is what we have, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. These individuals boasted in the flesh of the Galatians. They were show-offs. Look at how many converts we have. They didn't care about the people. They cared about their status within a particular culture. The Galatians were just another notch on their belt. Friend, is this us? We don't boast in the flesh, church. We boast in the cross of Christ. And that's where Paul goes next. The cross-centered life isn't prideful, it's humble. Second, he tells us that the cross-centered life boasts in the cross, not in the flesh. And we see this in verse 14. And notice the contrast here between Paul and the Judaizers. He says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." If you have your Bible, flip over a couple pages to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, you're two books over to the right. You'll go to Ephesians and then Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says in verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." If anyone had a reason for boasting in the flesh, it was the Apostle Paul. Circumcised, tribe of Benjamin, zealous against the church. Blameless according to the law. But Paul tells us that he counts everything as a loss for the sake of knowing Christ. The question is this: Do we? Psalm 44 says, "In God we have boasted continually, and we give thanks to your name forever." Tony Morita says, "May it never be that we would ever make much of anything or ever glory in anything or be mastered by anything except the cross." To boast in the cross means you're not boasting in the flesh. Church, we don't base our assurance of salvation on anything we have done, but in everything Christ has done. We don't receive salvation by our Bible reading, prayer, Sunday school attendance, involvement in the community, or involvement on committees, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. It is because of Christ crucified that we have peace with God. The Galatians were not declared righteous because of their works, but because of the work of Christ and Christ alone. One commentator said, "Boast only in the cross, because every spiritual blessing you enjoy or will enjoy is due to the cross. Do you enjoy justification? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy redemption? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy adoption? Boast in the cross. Do you enjoy the Spirit? Boast in the cross." Friends, if we are boasting in our flesh, trusting in ourselves because of our good works, we need to repent. Salvation isn't the reward for our good deeds. It is the gift from God, purchased by the righteousness of Christ. Do we boast in the cross of our Lord and Savior? Next, Paul says the cross-centered life treasures Christ above all else. We see this again in verse 14. After Paul tells us that he boasts in the cross of our Lord, he says, "The world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The culture has no power over Paul. Can we say the same? Are our desires to please the world or to be faithful to our Lord? A heart that seeks to please the world's ever-changing demands is a heart that is yet to treasure Christ above all. The world is not our prize. Christ is. We have died with Christ and we are alive in Him. Things in this world shouldn't tempt us because we are Christ and He is ours. We are dead to the world and the world is dead to us. One commentator asks, "Can you look at your idols? Money, success, human praise, power, peer approval, wanting attention, ungodly romance, and say, 'I would not give a fig for you.'" But hear me when I say this. If you treasure Christ above all else, the world will mock you. The world will think you strange if you treasure Christ above all. The world will hate you. The world may oppose you, reject you, and even persecute you. But that's okay. Christ is worthy of it all. Next, a cross-centered life is inwardly transformed, not merely externally righteous. We see this in verses 15 and 16. Look at what Paul says. "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." The gospel is not about bad people becoming good. The gospel is about dead people being made alive. Paul believes in being a new creation, not merely externally righteous. No, he doesn't harp on circumcision. For him, it's a neutral matter. You want to be circumcised? Be circumcised. You don't want to be circumcised? That's fine. Don't be circumcised. He doesn't harp on it until it's made a requirement for salvation. Do it or don't, that's up to you. But the moment you place it as a prerequisite for salvation, there's a problem. Ritualistic externalism is a very bad thing. We see this throughout the scriptures, don't we? God doesn't delight in our worship if it's conducted with a heart that's far from Him. And it's easy to go through the motions, isn't it? What Paul desires here and what he's desired throughout the book of Galatians and what he desires in all of his writings is that people would be transformed from the inside out by the grace and loving kindness of God. And he reminds us that we are new creations in Christ, as he wrote to the Corinthians, that we are made new. And everything we do flows out of this new identity. We serve because we've been made new. We love the Word of God because we've been made new. We read the Word of God because we've been made new. We delight to hear from our Heavenly Father because we've been made new. We pray because we've been made new. And we delight to talk to our Heavenly Father because we've been made new. We sing because we've been made new. And we delight to sing songs of praise to our Heavenly Father because we've been made new. We share the gospel because we've been made new. And we delight for others to know our Heavenly Father because we have been made new. Everything we do, we do from God's grace, transforming us and making us new. He has taken our hearts of stone and made them into hearts of flesh that delight in Him. Friends, is this you? Do you delight in your Savior? If so, praise God. Literally, praise Him for His grace and mercy upon you. Thank Him for His work in you. If not, you get right with the Lord this morning. Fifth, a cross-centered life walks in faithfulness, not in error. Verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We are to walk by this rule, as Paul says. Our lives are to be shaped by the cross of Christ. The way we operate in our jobs, homes, friendships, romantic relationships, and everything else is to be shaped by the cross of Christ. If we do this, Paul prays that peace and mercy may be upon us. And as this mercy and peace fall upon us, we dispense it out to our lives. As one commentator said, gospel-centered people should be a mercy-dispensing, peace-enjoying people. It flows through us. We don't bottle this up. As I've said before, we are called to be tubes, not bowls. We're not to hold this in for ourselves. We are to let it flow through us into our lives. To everywhere we go, the cross should shape us. What causes divisions within a church? Is it not the failure to live cross-centered lives? The world may scoff at us, but we have the mercy and peace of God. You choose the better, the peace of God or the world's applause. One is fading, the other is eternal. Lastly, a cross-centered life pleases Christ, not man. We see this in verse 17. Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul's goal was to serve God, not man. And he made that clear all the way back in the first chapter when he said, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul has been slandered and his ministry has been questioned, but the scars on his body testify to the reality that he belongs to Christ. And he calls for the Galatians to take a stand for Christ and to defend him. He says, don't let people slander me or my ministry because I am a servant of God. And to stand up for Paul would be to stand against the false teachers. To stand up for Paul would be to take a stand for the cause of Christ. And the Galatians needed to be careful not to fall into the same trap the false teachers did in making a good showing in the flesh out of the fear of persecution. Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Which is a reminder for us this morning that if we follow Christ, we will be persecuted. You will be opposed. If you follow Christ, as one commentator said, you will bleed. Maybe not in the body, but you will in the heart. There is a cost to following Christ, but it is a cost that is worth it. It is worth it. I have faced opposition. I have faced slander. I have seen the wickedness of men, and yet here I stand saying Christ is still good. Expect opposition. Expect rejection. Expect persecution. Do not be surprised when it comes, and if it does, rejoice in the gospel of Jesus. The gospel never promises a life free from hardship, despite what many on the television and radio proclaim. But it does promise that Christ is with us through it all. And for me, that is enough. Paul says, I bear on my body the marks of Christ. And he's still proclaiming. God is good. Follow him despite what might come against you. He is worthy of it all. Don't fear man. What can man do to you? Testify in your boldness. The cross entered life. Is a life that is humble, not prideful. It's a life that boasts in the cross, not in the flesh. It's a life that treasures Christ, not this world. It is a life that is inwardly transformed, not merely externally ritualistic. It is a life that walks in the truth, not in error. And it is a life that seeks to please Christ, not man. Imagine, church, just for a moment, imagine the difference this would make in our town, our homes, our jobs, and our relationships if we lived cross-centered lives. Imagine. Does this describe you? Either you glory in the flesh or you glory in Christ. In the words of Joshua, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be true of us. Let's pray together.